Let's stand and turn to Psalms 108. So we start the service. We have Brother Alex this evening. Brother Andrew and Sister Ellie are down in Kentucky. And a week from this Friday, on Good Friday at 6:30 p.m., we're having communion service. And just so you, if you don't know why we have it in the evening, it's because it's the Lord's Supper. So that's why it's in the evening. So Good Friday at 6:30 p.m. for those who would like to take communion, we'll have communion service. I have Brother Isaac speaking for us that evening. Psalms 108, 1 through 5. O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise, even with my glory. And I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people, and I will sing praises unto thee among the nations. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens, and thy glory above all the earth. Amen. Remember, you're just earth, right? And God is my oasis in dry places. He makes flowers grow. Oh, God is my oasis, and where His grace is, living waters flow. My oasis in dry places, He makes flowers grow. God is my oasis, and where His grace is, living waters flow. Sing it again. Well, God is my oasis in dry places. Makes flowers grow. Oh, God is my oasis, and where His grace is, living waters flow. Praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. Brother Kent, just a testimony. I want to thank the Lord for His goodness and for answering prayer. I was driving to work Monday morning and glanced over to look at the moon. And when I looked back, there were two deer running away off the road. Praise God for protecting me. Yes. Amen. Amen. I know you would think a car could handle those deer, but boy, them are tough little critters. Let me tell you, they can do $5,000 worth of damage in just a heartbeat. Sister Carolyn, well, that's a prayer request. Sister Carolyn, a testimony from Sister Betty. God has done a wonderful thing for her sister Betty. She was having her blood checked every 6 months after she had heart surgery, and this time the test showed that her red blood cell count was really high. It had to do with her kidneys. We asked for prayer and got her a prayer cloth. When she saw the kidney specialist, he told her that she was fine. Red blood cell count right where it should be, all is well. Sister Betty just wanted to make sure that you all knew here at the Defiance Church family for praying for her, and she loves you all, Sister Carolyn. Amen. As the brothers come forward, remember the C family, Brother Everett was in bed most of the last 3 days, so he didn't know if he wanted to go to the ER or not because it felt like it was his heart again. And Sister Violet, my grandson Levi, is on his way to the ER with a temperature of 103. Please keep him in prayer. And Sister Carolyn Russell, my niece just texted and asked if we would pray for her feet. She has a lot of foot pain. Do you know anybody that needs salvation tonight? Because everything that they have is in that blood. Your healing is in salvation. Your answer to every prayer is in salvation. You want to know what color of car to buy? Just ask God. He will tell you. Because He knows what you need as Brother Roy leads us in prayer. Yes, Jesus.
Bless the hand. But offer tonight, Lord.
Praise God, praise God. Amen, amen. I'm a pilgrim and a stranger. Oh, I'm wandering through this world of sin. On my way to that fair city, hallelujah, when the saints come. Oh, yes, oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, Lord, I know I'll be in that number. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, I know I'll see my Savior. Oh, if my life is free from sin, heaven's doors will open for me. When the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, Lord, I know I'll be in that number. Hallelujah. Oh, when the saints go marching in. And when we gather round the throne, and the gates are closed within, I'll be shouting, glory, glory, hallelujah, when the saints, glory to God. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, Lord, I know I'll be in that number. When the saints go marching. You waiting? Oh, I'm waiting for the chariot to swing low and I'll step in on the clouds. Oh, yeah, when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, Lord, I know I'll be in that number. Glory, when the saints go marching. Sing that again. Oh, praise His name. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, Lord, I know I'll be in that number. when the saints go marching in. Hallelujah! Oh, give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning, burning, burning. Keep me burning till the break. Oh, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King of Kings. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King. Give me oil. Oh, give me oil. Fill me up tonight, Lord. Burning, burning, give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Keep me burning till the break of day. Sing to Him, oh, sing. We'll sing Hosanna. Sing Hosanna to the King of Kings. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna. Sing that again. Sing, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King of Kings. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King. Praise His name. Thank you, Jesus. You love Him? Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy. Oh, tried and true, and with thanks. You love Him? Oh, praise His name. I'll be a living, oh, sanctuary for you. Sing it now. Oh, Lord, prepare me to be a saint. Sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, and with thanksgiving,
yes, Lord,
I'll be a sanctuary,
oh Lord,
for you.
Amen. How many is grateful that the Lord has chosen to live in His people? Amen. We're just so grateful for that. We want to just greet you all. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, say God bless you. We're just happy to be with you once again. Sister Carolyn, I was really happy to hear that testimony about Sister Betty, and just tell her I said hi next time you see her again, stuff, and thank God for what He's doing there, for the great need in her life. And we all have different needs, amen. But as our brother was just saying, you know, we can talk to somebody about it, and he'll speak back, amen. Even like he said, even if you're buying a car, now of course, if you don't know what color to buy and you're wanting an opinion, I'm sure Brother James would give you one. but I'm sure it'll be a good one too. No, we appreciate our brother and all that he's been in my life and the family and the different ones here. We just want to say God bless you, and Let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer together this evening. Heavenly Father, we are indeed a grateful and privileged people to be able to approach your throne and to speak to you, Lord, and to hear back from you. Lord, I believe tonight that you even desire to speak to these people. Lord, I'm not here to promote the idea that you're limited to this pulpit tonight. I believe you can speak to us anytime and in many different ways, but it'll always be according to your word. But Lord, we've set aside this time tonight. We've made a divine appointment believing that you keep all of your appointments. And Father, we just invite you to come by your Spirit and speak to us once again that which is needful and edifying to the hearer for the use of your people and your purpose. Bless the reading of your word, we pray. Watch over the different ones who could not be here tonight, our brother Andrew and his family as they're traveling. May you watch over each of them as well. We commit this service and this time and our lives into your hands. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we pray. And the bride says, you have your Bibles, 1 Kings chapter 18 this evening. Just a couple verses here. 1 Kings chapter 18. I'm going to try. You know, I shouldn't even say it because if I say it, then it always backfires. But I'm going to try not to be real long tonight. I just have a kind of a simple thought, but I pray it be an encouragement to you. 1 Kings chapter 18. And we're going to read verses 17 and 18 this evening. Verses 17 and 18, the Bible says this, and it came. Now, this is talking about the time after Elijah goes up and he shows himself unto Ahab, and he's getting ready to pray for rain on the earth. But verse 17 says, and it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, and that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. I find this to be a very human thing in some ways, and of course the Lord's also involved in this, but they're both basically accusing each other of being the one that's, it's your fault that things are this way. But it was one's fault and it was one's not, and we try to promote the idea as human beings to see the middle ground and find things in common, but there's some occasions where it's just not an option as a Christian. It's not me, it's you, the Lord, you've forsaken the Lord, it's your fault. Amen. And in so many people's lives, they wonder, well, why is this happening? Why is this? And if these people weren't this way, well, I'm going to start preaching already, I guess. But it's their own fault that it's that way because they forsook the Lord. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word as you're seated. And I want to take this thought and this idea tonight. Brother Branham preaches a sermon that I'm going to quote from here in a moment. It's called God Being Misunderstood. And I'd like to preach this sermon title tonight, God Being Misunderstood in You. Amen. Not by you, hopefully, but in you. Amen. God being misunderstood in you. And to kind of preface this or give an idea of what I'm talking about, I took a concealed carry class here several years ago. I'll put that out. They didn't say whether I passed or not. But but one of the things they talk about, I think this is really important, is identifying the right kind of a target. You know, especially for a man, if he walks into a room or a dark alley and he sees this woman on the ground, she just looks defenseless and this guy's pointing the gun at her head. You know, most of these men, they just, well, they'll pull out this gun and just blast the guy. And here he might be an undercover police officer or a guy that's off duty and she's the one that did something. You don't see the knife fight that ensued several minutes beforehand or whatever else. And so the idea is you got to identify the right target. You don't want to go in and just start shooting people with all the right information. Amen. And so we see that misunderstandings arise when we either lack information or we have the wrong information, which by extent is a lack of information, just the right information. So we as human beings, we lack information, and I'm sure we could all raise our hands, I'm not asking for a show of hands, of times we've either been misunderstood by people or we've misunderstood other people. It's part of our human condition many times. And Brother Brad makes this statement in the sermon, God being misunderstood, talking about Elijah here with Ahab. He's talking about this very scripture we read, and he says, how could a man raise up against his own nation? Blasphemy in his own nation, corrected to put curses of God upon the very nation, the very people that he lived with, his own race, his own color, his own creed, his own kind, and yet predict the judgments of God and called a famine upon them. He was misunderstood because it wasn't Elijah. Why would Elijah do these things? Well, it wasn't Elijah that did it. That's why he was misunderstood, because it wasn't Elijah. It was God in Elijah that they misunderstood. Amen. It wasn't Elijah being misunderstood. It was God leading Elijah, and they misunderstood that God was a holy God and he cannot tolerate sin. Now, I'm just going to skip down here for the sake of time, but please feel free to go back and listen to the whole thing. But he says, all the prophets of the Old Testament, how they rose up and prophesied against their nation, how they prophesied against the people, how they prophesied against the thing, put curses upon them and doing things like that. They misunderstood. Why? They were God's servants. They were doing the will of God. They were doing the service of God. Therefore, in other words, because of that, they were misunderstood. And anybody, now we're not just giving a history lesson tonight, anybody that follows God is misunderstood. Jesus our Lord. When his birth, he was misunderstood. Now, I'll come back to that here in just a few moments, but as I was saying a few moments ago, you don't have to be a Christian to be misunderstood by other people. But when God is in you and God is being misunderstood, it's going to be in your life. Amen? In other words, it's not something that might just happen. It's going to happen. Amen? In your life, he's going to be misunderstood. You're going to be misunderstood, and he is the reason why you're going to be misunderstood. Amen. We talk about, and we read the book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter. We talk about the heroes of faith. In the book of Hebrews, by faith they subdued kingdoms. They quenched the violence of fire. They shut the mouths of lions. But I want you to understand, when the world looks at these people, when their contemporaries and the people they lived with looked at them, they weren't looking at heroes of faith. They were looking at villains of the faith. They were looking at the troublemakers and the people that caused problems, like Elijah. You're the one that's causing all of our trouble, Elijah. We haven't had rain and we're falling apart. It's people like you, Elijah. People like you are what ruins the whole thing for everybody else. Amen. Elijah's like, it's not me, it's you. Well, praise the Lord. You know, it's like I was talking about adoption here. I've been ministering on it quite a bit recently, but, you know, Brother Ben talks about when they go into the land of Canaan, he said for them to possess it. And he said, if you don't possess the land, amen. He says, if you don't possess this land of Canaan, he said, wild beasts would overrun the land. And I was thinking it's the same thing today. This world, this nation, the place we live in is overrun by beasts, not by lions and tigers and bears, but the worst kind of beasts that ever walked the face of the earth, the unregenerate man. Brother Bam said, a man without the Holy Ghost, he's worse than a brute beast. He said, he'll take a baby and throw it out of its mother's arms and ravish her. He said, even animals don't do that. They're beasts. They're taught in school that they're beasts. They act like beasts. That's why they're going to be marked as beasts. They're animals. They're brute beasts fitted for destruction. Amen. Well, actually, they're worse than beasts is what it is. Amen. You know what? At least the male bull didn't run around and pretend he's a cow. He's going to give out milk or something. Like that. He knows who he is. The male bull knows who he is, the female. Well, hallelujah, I'm going to preach anyway. Amen. They know who they are. They're not fighting it. But a man will sit there and every kind of perversion and filth and demonic, everything in the world, it comes through the channel of a man. And you look at these deviants today, and I know you'll appreciate this, but they're busy sitting there. Don't you judge this. Don't you call us out. You're not allowed to judge it. If you judge this, we'll judge you for it. You're not allowed to judge it. If you do, we're going to judge you for it. We'll call you a bigot. We'll call you this. Well, listen, they don't have a problem with judging people because they judge people all the time. Amen. They'll call you a fascist. They'll call you intolerant. They'll call you a bigot. They judge people all the time. They don't have a problem with judging people. They just have a problem with you judging people. But it's not you doing it. See, that's what they misunderstand. It's not you. It's the word that does it. That's why they misunderstand. That's why the label you is every kind of a thing. Amen. And so I just had a brother call me today, and I was talking about this here to him. I was looking at that word bigot a while back. You know what that word bigot means? It means a person who is obstinately or unreasonably attached to a belief, opinion, or a faction. I thought, glory to God, that's me. Well, I guess if that's what a bigot is, you might as well label me one now. Might as well call me a holy roller and a fanatic and everything else. Amen? Because if that's how you feel about it, listen, I am obstinate. I believe that Jesus Christ, he is the way, the truth, and the life, and everything else is death. I don't care if it's a Buddha or a Vishnu or a Durga or Muhammad or whatever else. It's all devils. It's all death. There's only one form of eternal life. I believe that. So if that makes me obstinate, then I'm guilty as charged. You would say, well, that's unreasonable. That's fine. You can't reason it into me. You can't reason it out. That's unreasonable. Then I'm guilty as charged. You can call me a bigot. Call me whatever you want. But I know one thing. When he calls me up, you can call me gone. That's all I care about is that's what he calls me. Yeah, the world misunderstands it. I won't even be here to make fun of one day. I'm going to be in another dimension, moving a little faster while they're busy slinging mud at each other saying, man, them holy rollers, where'd they go anyway? We can't even find them. It's people like this. That's why the world's way it is today. We get all these fanatics out of the way. I ain't even going to be here anymore. Let them bark and say whatever they want anyhow. They did the same thing with Elijah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, this is what I'm coming to. Just because something is widely accepted or even legal does not mean that it's right or ethical. You can look at the message in Russia today, and just even this, just the end of this last year, their, whatever their version of the Supreme Court is, it upheld a ruling against the message of all the message material in that country. It's illegal because it's not Russian Orthodox. Amen. Oh, they've got churches, just not ones that preach this message. Because they're a bunch of troublemakers. Well, God's people are always called troublemakers. But Brother Bam said Jesus was a renegade. Here's the kind old priest. He's giving out money. He's dedicating the baby. And here comes this mean old guy flipping tables and knocking people out with whips. Well, not knocking people physically out with whips, but you know what I'm getting at. Running them out. I mean, you look at Ahab. You look at a persecutor. And they're always looking at you and I. Well, it's just this little group of people. Ah, if we could just get them out of the way. Everything, you know, I love it. That's politics. If we could just get rid of these statues, if we could just get rid of this thing, and it's just always something else. It's always something else. You know why? Because what they're doing ain't going to work. Because the problem's not another man. The problem's not what we're saying or preaching. They're the problem. They're their own biggest enemy, and they've not kept the commandments of God. They don't want to reckon with the truth, so they got to pick somebody out. So guess who they're going to pick out? You and me. You know why? Because God's in us. Amen. They're not out to get you. They're out to get God. Amen. Well, hallelujah. Right. Well, if we didn't have all these loudmouth troublemakers preaching the Bible, preaching Bible truth. Right. If we could just get them out of the way. Well, the problem is their trouble starts when I'm out of the way. Because when I'm not here, that's when tribulation really sets in. Amen. You think about this. You and I, the very ones they're mad about and they complain about and they don't like, you're the ones keeping them alive. You're the only reason they're still here. Well, hallelujah, they don't realize it, but you're the best thing that ever happened to them. You got co-workers, you got family, maybe you got a teacher or a student or something else, and maybe they just hate your guts. And man, I can't stand that guy. Well, she's just always talking about the Bible. They're just a bunch of whores. Man, that's just, I can't stand going to work. I can't stand going to school. I don't want nothing to do with them. You're the best thing that ever happened to them. You're the Jesus Christ that God sent their way, that they might have a chance. Oh, hallelujah. Well, that's the thing. Amen. They hate you, so they'll say that you hate them, but they hate you is what it is. It's just like, we'll use Ahab again. Here's Jehoshaphat, and here's Ahab, and they're wondering, should we go up to Ramoth-Gilead? Should we go up there and make war? And he asks 400 backslidden pagan devil preachers, what should we go up? Oh, yeah, sure, go. The Lord's given in your hand. You sow your seed, and God will repay you 10,000-fold, and God will bless you, and God, this and that. And Jehoshaphat said, isn't there one more we could ask? Isn't there somebody else that actually talks to God? And God talks back to him. There's got to be somebody. And Ahab said, yeah, there's one other guy, but I hate him. He's one of these loudmouth, old-fashioned, hot, heaven's high and hell's hot and the devil's wrong and God's right preachers. We don't want another. He hates me. He always prophesies evil against me. Well, he wouldn't say nothing evil against him. God was saying something evil against him because he's evil. Well, hallelujah. It's like I was... I don't mean to say it as a joke, but it's like I always talk about people at funerals. They always want you to say nice things about the deceased at the funeral. I say, well, give me something to work with. I'm not going to lie for you. You want me to say something nice? Well, give me something to point at. And man, if you want me to ignore all this, that's one thing, but you got to give me something to work with. I ain't going to make nothing. I ain't going to lie for you. Amen. Well, you're just being a hateful person. Well, they thought the same thing about Jesus. Why can't you ever say nothing nice about us? I ain't got nothing nice to say about you. Repent and serve God, then I'll find something nice to say about you. Well, hallelujah. Brother Bannon says it's about Jesus. He said his life was completely misunderstood from the first time the angels introduced him and the wise men followed the star. When he was first born, he was persecuted until the day he died by the church. Think about that. Every day of his life from when he was an itty-bitty baby, they hated him and wanted him to die. And they killed him. Oh my. He says he was misunderstood, but he was God's son. Brother Bram says in perfect faith, he looked like a mystic to the world. Why? Because he walked in another world. There was something different. He was separated. They didn't see the world he was walking in. That's why they thought he was just a little funny, just a little bit of a renegade. They couldn't see what he was walking in. Amen. Again, he says this, says, Jesus so loved the enemy. Hallelujah. That he gave his life for the condemned to save those who were unkind to him. And he prayed on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they don't even know what they're doing. They couldn't understand him. His preaching was misunderstood. His life was misunderstood. His speech was misunderstood. They didn't understand him. You say, what's the point, preacher? What are you getting? I'm not just talking about the man here now. I'm talking about Jesus or Moses or whoever. People misunderstand one another many times because of their human nature. But when the divine nature is in you, amen, they're going to misunderstand you because the world can't receive the things of God. They can't do it. Therefore, they have to misunderstand you. Hallelujah. Brother Bam says, every man that truly steps out and trusts God is misunderstood. We got one here tonight? Every man, I'll just put this in every woman, every person. Every man that truly steps out and trusts God is misunderstood. And they said, that's right. He said, God has always been misunderstood, and those who live with God are misunderstood with God because it's God working in them. You look at Moses, you think of the life of Moses, and Brother Bram preaches the sermon of Moses, and just take a couple quotes out of this real quick to kind of go where I'm going with this, but he says, when he became the age of 40 years, God called him for a purpose, and he thought, kind of like some of us. I know what I was when I first heard the message and I first believed the Lord. I'm like, man, everybody's going to be so happy to hear what I have to tell them. Man, I can't wait to tell everybody. They're going to love me. Well, Moses thought that. He thought, surely. He says that the people of Israel would understood that he was sent for. What he was sent for. But the people misunderstood Moses. He said, now get this close, friends. The hardest thing that God has ever had to deal with. Think about it. This is the hardest thing God's ever had to deal with his people is to get one mortal to believe another. Amen. It's not hard for him to move mountains. It's not hard for him to make stars. It's not hard for him to do any of that stuff. Amen. But to get one mortal to believe another mortal, that's why it's called the foolishness of God. Amen. Hallelujah. God didn't take the most easily available route. He took the hardest thing. Said, you know what? By the foolishness of preaching, I'm going to save the lost. Amen. It's one thing if an angel come down and there's a big lightning bolt. We see all, oh man, I believe that. But to get one man that's dying to believe another man, that's the hardest thing. Well, if you've been a Christian any length of time, you know exactly what I'm talking about. He said, when the promise drew nigh, they thought surely that they would understand. But the people of God, he said, usually Satan works right there with their understanding and makes them dull of understanding. And there they miss God 9 times out of 10. But God had his promise there. And then when Moses went down to deliver them, why? They refused him, rejected him. It cost them. Notice who it cost. It cost them 40 years more suffering. He said, isn't that right? 40 more years. That's what I was saying a few moments ago. Who suffered from the misunderstanding? It was them that suffered. God sent the gift to them. They misunderstood. They rejected. They're the ones that had to suffer in bondage. Amen. You see with all the other prophets and men of God in this Bible, listen, you see it all through the scripture. There, the Bible tells a story about the prophet Samuel. And I want you to really think about Samuel for a moment because Samuel was rejected. Amen. In his old age, he was rejected. The people said, we want a king. We want this guy to rule over us. We want somebody else. And Samuel, like a lot of us, if we're honest, Samuel didn't take it too well. The Bible said he was displeased. But you know, Samuel knew what to do. The Bible says he went and prayed unto the Lord. And the Lord spoke to him. I love it. Amen. When he was discouraged, when he was upset, he prayed and God spoke to him and said, now listen, they didn't reject you. They rejected me. Don't feel bad about it. It's not that you're ugly or dumb or weird or whatever. They don't like me. That's why they rejected you. I love that. Amen. God's got big shoulders. He said, don't feel bad. I'll take the blame. It's not you, Samuel. It's me they don't like. Amen. 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 Think about this. Why would God even tell Samuel that? Because he didn't want Samuel to take it personally. I believe that's why I'm speaking this tonight, because in our lives we deal with this. God doesn't want you to take it personally and get bitter and upset and say, why do people treat me like this? And why do people see me this way? It's not you. It's God in you. It's not you. It's like I said a moment ago. That's not you that they hate. They hate God. You're just in the way. Amen. They think if they kill you, they can get to God. It don't work that way. Amen. But listen, they've always done that. They've always rejected. They did it with Israel, did it with Moses. They rejected the very, and it's the same thing with Samuel. He went, God said, I want you to go tell him solemnly. In other words, look like you feel bad about it. Let him know. You want a king? You're going to get a king, but you're going to suffer for it. It wasn't Samuel that suffered for it. They suffered under Saul for it. So if you think you got it bad, well, feel bad for the people that reject you because they got it worse coming. Well, praise the Lord. God doesn't want us to feel like that we did something wrong when we're doing the right thing. Think about this. Jesus even tells his own disciples in St. John 16, he says, these things I have spoken unto you that ye should not be offended. That tells you what his purpose was. I don't want you to be offended by these things. He says, they shall put you out of synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think he doeth God a service. And these things they will do unto you because they have, now he tells you why, because they have not known the Father nor me, but these things I have told you that when the time shall come, if you're not dealing with it tonight, I hope you remember this. He's telling you when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them and these things I said unto you, not unto you at the beginning because I was with you. Amen. See, I just think it's so incredible how Jesus himself tells his own disciples this very thing that I'm telling you tonight. It's not the world that rejects you. They reject the one. The Bible says, he that rejects you or he that refuses you refuses the one that sent him. They're not refusing you. You're sent. You realize that you're not here even tonight by accident, but God has sent you into the world. You're not of the world, but you are in the world, and God sent you. Because Jesus said, when I'm in the world, I'll be the light. But when I'm gone, you're going to be the light. You're the light of the world. You're God's mercy. You're God's gift to this untoward generation. And then when they reject you, they're doing the same thing they did to the Lord. Amen. Well, in other words, if they hate you for the word, you're in good company. Man, they hate me. Well, they hated Samuel. They hated Moses. They hated Isaiah. They hated Jesus. You're in good company. I'll take my way with the Lord's widely accepted, loved, graciously. If I were going to make the Lord's despised few, I'll take my way with him. I'll choose the reproach of Christ over the riches of Egypt any day. Behold, the Bible says, what manner of love the Father has for us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, because you're the sons of God, because he loves you, that's why they hate you. That's why they don't understand you. You look at this first, this mess, you look at this last church age messenger, rather. You look at this prophet. When the it just kind of struck me as I was studying even earlier. When the angel Lord finally comes to him, listen, he's been born with a light over his cradle. He's been seeing visions, and his mommy and daddy think he's a little off, you know. All the other kids don't even play nice with him. He goes and begins to minister. He sees visions and says, let's pray that thing leaves you. That's the devil, Billy. And when the angel of the Lord finally comes and commissions Brother Brennan, what's the first thing? What's the first thing Brother Kenny says? He says, your peculiar birth and your life, you've been misunderstood. The very first thing the angel points out is, you've been misunderstood for a reason. He says, your life, your peculiar life is to indicate that you're to take a gift of divine healing to the people. The very first thing the angel Lord does is explain to him, this is why people misunderstand you. Don't get broke up about it. Don't get upset about it. It's for a reason. In your life, you've been misunderstood when you were serving God. I'm not talking about when you two fought over what to put on your pizza now. I'm not talking about what kind of car is better, Chevy or Ford. I'm talking about when you stood on the word of the Lord and you did the will of God and you stood there and you knew you were in the will of God and the people rejected you and they come against you and they called you all kinds of names. Hallelujah. This man was misunderstood his whole life, and the angel says, listen, it's for a reason. Don't feel bad. Before you go out there, before you take that gift out there, I want you to know you've been misunderstood for a reason. Before you walk out the door, so if you get nothing else out of this, I want you to know if you're a Christian, you're misunderstood for a reason. It was that important to God to tell that prophet that before he even sent him out. Hallelujah. The first thing he tells him, Brother Bram said, I tried to live to be a gentleman and I was misunderstood. And even my father said I was a big sissy because I didn't drink like the rest of the Branhams. Well, help me out, someone. And so forth. But there was something in my heart that wouldn't let me drink. It was Christ. He says, many people have misunderstood me, dear Christian friend. I'm misunderstood today. Well, help me out. Amen. Watch this now. We're not talking about the guy that's all like, well, you know how some of these guys are. Well, this means that. And hey, you know what that means? No. What means that? I'm like, I still don't know what you're talking about. Ooh, I'm mysterious. Ooh, I'm spiritual. Nobody knows what you're talking about, man. I'm not talking about that. He says, I've tried to make it just as plain as I can. You know all of it. He says, there's no way at all for me to get it to the people. It's got to be a revelation coming from God to understand it. See, they misunderstood the prophet. Amen. They still do it today. I'm not talking about the world. I'm not talking about you on YouTube. Who is William Branham? I'm talking about message people. Help me out now. Message people. Listen, Brother Branham can talk about speaking in tongues. He can talk about education. And you've got some guy out there who's like, well, education's the devil, so I'm going to keep my kids out of school. That's not what he's saying. Well, you know, civilization's the devil. The message is on tape recorder. Come on, hey man. My Bible got printed out. That's not what he's talking about. Well, speaking in tongues is the initial evidence. That don't mean you don't ever speak in tongues. It's like altar calls. Man, I've seen this so many times. Well, Brother Bram said altar calls. It was a Methodist tradition. And Brother Bram himself said this. He said so many people lots of times has misconstrued the word. I've been misunderstood by this, by making altar calls. I said I wasn't much on an altar call. Not meaning that you shouldn't make the altar call. He explains what he's talking about. You get some guy up there and you work with, now Johnny, your mommy would want you to be here tonight. You try to work on the affections. You try to work on the memory. He says, that's not it. It's got to be free moral agency. Yeah. Amen. That's why he talks about psychology. You can't convince him to come up. It's not saying not to go to psychology if you need a pill. Help me out, somebody. We're not against doctors tonight. That's not what he's talking about. He said, when I said this about altar calls, now listen, this is on tape, 1962. He himself says it didn't mean not to make altar calls. And yet today in the message, they still say, oh, we shouldn't have altar calls. We should call people to come forward. Right. Well, then he's a hypocrite because he did the same thing up until the day he died. Amen. So either he's a hypocrite and he lied, or you misunderstood. And the reason you misunderstood is because you didn't want to understand. You wanted to hear it your way. You didn't want to hear what God had to say about it. Well, hallelujah. Like quotes tonight, I got another one. He says, I can say one thing, and it's so misunderstood. I say it this way, and it goes this way or that way, gets off the way to one side, the way it is. You say something right, straight. I'm not talking about this all like, ooh, I'm a spiritual ninja. He says, you can say it straight toward a point. And one hears it this way, and he'll go, it looks like Brother Bram said, the Trinitarian thought he was oneness, the oneness thought he was Trinitarian. One hears it this way, so he tells another one, and it leans a little further, and the next one leans a little further, next a little farther. It's got plumb out of cater. One hears it the other way. He goes this way, that way, and that way. See? And you get away. And that's the way it is out in the meeting and so forth. When you're really driving to a spot, he says, now the elected would hear that spot. They get that spot. They know because it's just exactly what I meant, see? Just the message, just exactly. Now, and that's why I say it seems like there's more misunderstanding all the time, continually. If that was 1962, where were we at in 2021? So we push the word, the word, the word. We should push the word. The word's important, amen. But without the author or the spirit that spoke or wrote it, it don't do you no good. Well, this is what he said. Yeah, but you don't mean it the way you mean it. Well, hallelujah, if you've been married ever, you know what I'm talking about. I'm not, that's men and women both. That's not what I meant. Well, that's what you said. Well, that's not actually what I said. Or you got a job. Or you got family. Anything. Amen? See, it's the spirit behind it. Brother Branham says this. This is a good one. This is in the third seal. He says, I'll tell you what, sometimes what confuses the people, that someone come in and didn't get the first part of the service, you see. Then they come and they hear you refer back, hit something, and they just take that and then what's said, they didn't get the first part. Then it's all confusing them, you see. And they do think that something said was different, but it isn't. In other words, when you sit there and say, well, I found this quote. Well, Brother Brown says this on tape. What's the next sentence? Well, I don't know. What did he say before? Well, I don't know. Well, it sounds like you don't actually know what he said. Well, they're coming halfway through. Oh, I heard him say this. Well, did you hear what he said before? No. Well, maybe that's not what he meant. Listen, I had a man come to me one time, and he was talking about the Feast of the Trumpet 64. He talks about, Brother Bam in there talks about how that seventh seal wasn't open yet. He said, see, it's not open yet. I said, I agree. It wasn't open in 1945. What do you mean? I said, go back and read what he's talking. He's talking about World War II, when the river Euphrates is open, and 200,000. Yeah, then it wasn't. You got to wait another 20 years. Listen to what the man's actually saying. Well, hallelujah. Well, we just take the part we want to hear. Well, that's your problem. Now, here's what I'm coming to this. Brother Branham struggles with this in his own life. So don't feel alone. He says this, and this is in Trying to Do God a Service, 1965. He said, it's so hard. He said, it used to bother me so bad. Has it ever bothered you before? It used to bother me so bad. And then I found out that even our Lord was misunderstood. In so many things, he'd say anything and they misunderstood. I guess it just has to be that way. He says, but those who are wise will understand. See, the Bible said so. They'll catch it. Amen. So listen, he's like, man, I feel so bad that I'm misunderstood all the time. And they're like, oh, they did the same thing with Jesus. Man, if they could hate a guy that never did nothing wrong. I mean, they just hate him. They killed him. They could hate him. What do you think they're going to do to you? That should make you feel kind of. See, it's not about you. It's actually never been about you. It's always been about the Lord. The Lord's the reason you're here today. It's always about the Lord. The reason you're here and you believe the word, the Lord's glorifying himself. So when they hate you, it's not about you, it's about the Lord. You're a part of the body of Christ. Amen. So yeah, it's actually a great concept. Listen, for me myself, I know this is gonna sound funny, but for me, I actually embraced the role of the villain years ago. I'm not saying you should do evil or villainous things, but listen, I'd rather be a villain for God than a hero for the devil. Amen. Amen. If I got to be God's most hated, notorious member of the body of Christ, I'll take that over being a hero for the kingdom of Satan. Amen. Amen. Listen, Paul talks about this in 1 Corinthians 4. He said, we're a spectacle unto men and to angels and to the world. We're the offscouring of all things. We are despised, but you're accepted. We're rejected, but you're accepted. He said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We've been made an offscouring for your sakes. We're fools so you can be wise. I'd rather be a fool for Christ than the wisest sage the world's got to offer. If I've got to be the villain for the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Yeah, hallelujah. Listen, if I'm going to be a villain, and they're going to say, that's a religious fanatic. That's a guy who just believes the Bible. He just believes the message. If I'm going to be that kind of villain, I might as well be a superb case of villainy. They might as well look at me with my curly mustache and say, that's the worst that God's got. He's the most Bible-believing fanatical. He won't compromise on nothing, believe there is. We just can't get him to get along with anybody. He just wants to serve God. Well, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Listen, I want to be so devoted and so uncompromising and my dedication and my belief in the Word of God till they can definitely 100% convict me in a court of law. That's one of them message-believing, Bible-believing Christians. I hope there's so much evidence, there's not one shadow of a doubt. I hope the jury can go in there and walk out 3 minutes later. We didn't even have to talk about it. We didn't even have to deliberate. We know he's one of them. String him up, throw him in jail, get rid of him. We hate him. Good. You know, the prophet said something. I was listening to this sermon, God being misunderstood. I was really studying this for this. And he said something. I tell you what, it just tickled me. This is just how I am. It just tickled me when the prophet said this. Because he's talking about how Jesus, the people misunderstood him, and his own disciples misunderstood him. And then he says this. He says, the devil misunderstood him. Yeah, take that. He said, the devil said, that, surely that cannot be a son of God that would stand there and be mistreated like that. And them cussing and the disciples down there just treating him that way and him taking it. Oh, he's not the son of God. Think about that. The devil always challenges him, if you're the son of God. Amen. Because he don't have a perfect understanding. He wants you to think that he does. Oh, he'll come in your life and say, I've got you all figured out. I've watched you your whole life. I've watched your family. I've watched the churches you've been in. I know everything about you. I said, oh, really? Because you thought you knew everything about Jesus and you killed him. And when you did that, you made the biggest mistake you've ever made. Don't let the devil tell you he's got a perfect understanding. He don't even understand it. When he tells you he does, he's lying to you. Here's the great deceiver, the father of lies himself, and God's got him all whipped. You don't even know his left and his right. Even the devil I like it when the devil misunderstands. I like it when the devil comes up in my life and says, well, you've got this going on, and you've done that, and you've got yourself in big trouble. You've made a mess of things. You missed the will of God. I said, oh, really, is that so? Now, how do you know that? Well, you've got trouble here, and I've done this here, and I've done that here. I said, devil, I've not yet begun to fight. You're just getting fixed for another beating. Hey, man, that's what the devil did in the Red Sea. Oh, if God knew what he was doing, he wouldn't have put you up against the sea. You don't know where you're going. You can't even get out. What you going to do? God was going to make a way when there was no way. See, the devil misunderstood. That water wasn't there to trap God's people. That water was there to kill the devil. That water was there to throw the horse and its rider in the sea. And Moses could testify the horse and its rider, they're cast into the sea, never to be seen again. Oh, man, when you can trick the trickster. Oh, you can pull the wool over his eyes. Listen, you can't do that, but God in you can. No, you just misunderstood Satan. Look how Satan has persecuted the church and what he's done him over the years. And every time he persecutes him, what happens? The church comes up. It grows stronger. It moves out. It pushes out. Every time he raises persecution, every time he brings affliction, he doesn't know he's raising up his own worst enemy. The devil misunderstood. He can sit there and criticize you. He can make fun of you. And yet the prince of this world himself didn't even recognize it in that little guy come out of Galilee. Well, it looks like you'd be the son of God. No. Son of God wouldn't put up with all that. He wouldn't humble himself like that. Oh, my. God can take a misunderstanding about you, about God in you. God can take a misunderstanding about you and turn it into a blessing. That's what he did that day at Calvary. That's what he did at the Red Sea. People, they'll misunderstand you sometimes. Listen, hallelujah, I'll just be real honest with you. There's some people and they just love me. They're my friends and this and that. They start out and hating me or not liking me or thinking I was weird or everything else. Hey, man. I mean, y'all must know a couple of them too. People that would have never been your friends or this or that or whatever. But God has a way of doing things. And they probably love you more for it now because God brought an understanding. God can take the misunderstandings about your life and turn them into blessings. You believe that? Don't get discouraged by it. God's fixing to make it a blessing. If anybody's going to suffer for it, it's them. They suffered 40 years in Israel. They suffered under King Saul. Amen. But God's able to take it for you and turn it into a blessing. I've got better friends nowadays than I had before. Listen, the friends I had in the world, they don't have nothing to do with me. You know why? They misunderstood who I was. They thought I was just another sinner out in the world, loved the things of the world. But when God came my way and God did something in my life, they said, we don't want nothing to do with that guy no more. You probably know this story. Stephen, one of our friends that we used to hang out with, he sent him an email here years ago after we both got saved, a couple years after he got saved. And he said, man, I sure miss playing the games that we used to do and doing all this stuff we used to do when we were running around in college. And I said, I don't know. He said, it's like my old friend's gone and somebody else lives inside his body right now. And Stephen's like, praise God. He just gave me the biggest compliment. He just misunderstood. Oh, it looks like he's gone. Well, he is. Just not in the way you think. His life is with Christ and God. I want you to catch this, especially you young people. Being misunderstood, see, this is what I'm talking about. Being misunderstood doesn't actually change who you are unless you let it. Do we care about what Ahab thinks? Well, you're the one causing all this trouble. Listen, I'm the one that's going to pray for rain. What are you talking about? Do we care what Ahab thinks? Do we care what Pharaoh thinks? Do we care what the Pharisees think? If the devil doesn't like you, that's a good thing. I want him to not like me. I don't want to be his buddy. I hope he hates me so much. I hope he just seethes at the very thought of me. There's another one of them sons of God. He just believes the Bible. Yeah, that's right. Another one of them bigots for the kingdom of God. You can call me whatever name you want. I'm going to the rapture. See, being misunderstood only changes actually who you are if you have an over solicitude for what men think of you or what people think of you. You're so worried about what people... That's why so many Christians struggle. That's why so many men, even ministers, that's where they get defeated. They get caught up in popularity. You say, well, popularity is, oh, the crowds follow me and everybody loves me. I got this. Listen, that's popular, but that's not all popularity is. If you sit there and you're worried about whatever else thinks about you, what if brother so-and-so and the pastor and this and that, if your concern is more with what men think of you than what God says about you, you're under the influence of popularity. It doesn't have to be a big crowd. One person's opinion, meaning more to you than what God says, that's popularity. Well, I got to really impress that person. I don't care if it's your husband, your wife, your mom, your daddy, whoever. It's not them, it's God. Exactly. And as long as God is your primary reason for doing things, amen, if that's your primary influence, then you don't have to worry about what the people say about you. Like I said, I hope especially young people, not just young people, but I hope especially they're hearing me. If you know anything about the NCAA, which I'm not saying you need to, but the coach years ago of the Bruins, James Wooden, he makes a statement, and I thought this is a really good statement to kind of sum this up. He makes this statement. He says, be more concerned with your character than your reputation, because your character is what you really are, while your reputation is merely what others think you are. Many Christians, and listen, it's not to say that your reputation is unimportant, but it's not nearly as important as your character. Most people, even people in church, they're concerned about their reputation. Your reputation is not what you're taking with you in the rapture. Brother Bev said you're taking one thing with you, and it's not your reputation. It's not how many people like you. It's not how good they talk about you. Woe unto you, the Bible says, when all men speak well of you. Woe unto you when everybody loves you. You're in a bad spot. Because the whole world loves Satan, and it loves Satan's Eden. You're not taking your reputation, you're taking your character. That's what matters. My concern before the Lord is not what people think about me or my reputation. My concern is, Lord, what kind of a character am I reflecting? Whether it's school, or your friends, or work, or church, whatever it is. Lord, what kind of character do I have? Because if you have the right character, you'll do things that'll make you unpopular, and you'll do them, and you'll believe them anyway, even when nobody else supports you, you'll do it anyhow, because you're looking at the one in the balcony. Amen. Not worried about, oh, the crowd thinks you're great. Man, they've got auto-tune, they've got tape tracks, and everything. Anybody can fake a performance nowadays, but that guy up in the balcony knows the real deal, because he's the one that do the training. When he stands up and does this, and says, well done, that's when you know you did a good job. Not when daddy or mommy or pastor or brother so-and-so or the deacon, when God stands up, says, well done, son.
Well done, son.
You've got my character. You walk like me. You talk like me. I'm not worried about it. Listen, the world ain't going to tell you that. They wouldn't do it. Jesus is not going to do it with you. Young, old, whoever you are, don't worry so much about your reputation. Don't worry so much about what people say about you. What has God said about you? What does God testify about you in your life? Be encouraged. The guy in the balcony, his opinion is the only one that matters. Your reputation won't go with you in the rapture, and it won't put you in the rapture. It might put you in government. It might put you in politics. It might put you in a good spot at a job, but it ain't going to get you out of the grave. Actually, it might put you in a grave. A lot of people let their reputation and things go to their head and vanity, put them in an early grave. Every young man that's ever played a game of chicken and got killed doing it is because he was worried about his reputation. Every guy that got burned out on some overdose, he's worried about, oh man, I'm missing out. So-and-so said this and so-and-so's done that. Ruined his life. There's no eternal value in your reputation, but there's great value in the fruit of the Spirit. There's great value in the character of God. As you stand to your feet tonight, ha, got done before 8. Boom. I don't want to get a reputation as a long-winded preacher. God bless you tonight. Just a little thought, but I pray it encourages you. As we go through the middle of our week, we go through jobs and work and school and different things. It's easy. Listen, Samuel got discouraged. Brother Branham, after the angel told him this, still got discouraged. And then he remembered. I just want to stir up your pure minds tonight. Don't look at what the world says about you. Don't get caught up in all that. Look at the character of God in your life. Amen. Heavenly Father, we just pray tonight something was said that would be more than just an excitement or an entertainment to us, but something of value that we could just take and embrace and hold on to. Lord, knowing that each of us is destined somewhere in our lives to be misunderstood. You said that all that live godly in Christ would suffer persecution. So, Father, we just want to stand here and remember the words that were spoken unto us, the words of our Lord Jesus. He said, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Lord, we look tonight at the great cost of this free gift in your own life, in our lives. We want to be mindful tonight as we go out of this place to cultivate the right kind of character in our lives. Not to make decisions based on what people will think about them, but to make decisions based on the Word of God, the unfailing realities of your Spirit. Lord, I pray you bless these people as they go from this place tonight. May they never depart your presence. Lord, I commit them into your hands. You're a loving and a faithful Creator. We thank you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Go ahead and sing something for us, brother.
I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I'll say yes, Lord, yes.
Oh, I will trust you and obey.
When your Spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart I'll agree.
What's your answer tonight?
And my answer will be yes, Lord, yes. Oh, I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I'll say yes, Lord, yes.
Oh, I will
trust you and obey. When your Spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart I'll agree, and my answer will be yes, Lord, yes.
We sing that song, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus.
I have decided to follow Jesus.
Oh, I have decided to follow Jesus.
I have decided,
oh, to follow Jesus.
Oh, no turning back. No turning back.
Though none go with me, guess what?
Though none go with me, still I will follow.
Be happy to pray with you tonight.
None go with me. Still I will follow,
though none go with me, still I will follow, no turning back, no turning back. The cross before me, the world be, oh yeah, the cross before me, before me, the world behind me, no turning back, no turning back. You can take this whole world, but give me Jesus. You can take this whole world, but give me Jesus. You can take this whole world, but give me Jesus. No turning back. No, I won't turn back. I won't turn back. Oh, I have started for the kingdom. Oh, I have started for the kingdom. I have started for the kingdom. I won't turn back. Oh, no, 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 I won't turn back. Oh, I have started to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus.
Oh yes, I have decided
to follow Jesus.
Oh, no turning back.
No, no, no,
no turning back. The world,
the world behind me.
The world behind me. Oh, the cross before me. And the world behind me. The cross before me. And the world behind, behind me. I won't turn back.
I won't.
Oh, no, I won't turn back. You can take this whole world. Oh, yes. But give me Jesus. Oh, you can take this whole world. But give me Jesus. You can take this whole world. Oh, but give me Jesus. Oh, I won't turn back.
No, no, no.
I won't turn back. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you encouraged tonight? It's more than just words of a song tonight. Amen. That's the very testimony of our lives. Think what a testimony that is. Think what that means to God when every voice is against you, but God is for you tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you. Go ahead and sing something else for you. Pick a different key if you want this time. Amen. God bless you tonight. We'll hand it over to our brother here. Again, if you need prayer, we'll be happy to pray with you. God bless you this evening. Amen.
Well, I'm one of the few.
Oh, yes, I'm one of the few. And by faith in God's word, I can claim it.
Though the way may seem long and the opposition strong, for the bride there's a way.
Provided.
If my plans you go through,
just to hope will not do. Oh, I must
be firmly decided.
Oh, yes,
to follow the Lord by obeying His word
and believe that I'm one of the few. And by faith in God's word, I can claim it. And though the way may seem long and the opposition strong, for the bride
there's a way provided.
Oh,
my plan to go through.
Yes, I do.
Just to hope.
and will not do. Oh, I must be firmly decided,
oh, to follow the Lord by obeying His word.
Oh, and believe that I'm one of the few.
I am one. I'm one of the few.
Yes, I'm one of the few.
And my faith in God's word.
Oh, I can't claim it.
Though the way may seem long and the opposition strong, for the bride there's a way provided. If I plan to go through, just to hope will not do. I must be firmly decided to follow the Lord by obeying His word, and believe that I'm one of the few. Oh, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I don't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh, Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. They're all expecting me, and that's one thing I know. I fixed it up with Jesus so many years ago. I know He'll see me through, though I am weak and poor, and I can't feel at home in this world. Well, oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? Angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Just over in glory land, we'll live eternally. The saints on every hand are shouting the victory. The songs of sweetest praise drift back from heaven's shore, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh, Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? Angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in